You are listening to The Riding, NFL DFS Podcast with Pat James.
Welcome, everybody, to the Week 7 Cash Game Lineup Review Edition of The Riding NFL DFS Podcast. We will also go through some Monday Night Showdown thoughts. Week 7 was really good for me. 93% of head-to-heads won. We'll go over the lineup in a second, but I do want to mention something that I tweeted yesterday. For the second week in a row, I golfed on Sunday morning, meaning I really didn't have time to... I teed off both days around 9. Didn't really have time to, you know, tinker with my lineup for 3 hours up until lock like normal. And I'm not saying that I always, you know, go back and forth or pull my hair out up until 12:59. But there has definitely been decisions made at 12:59. 100%. A 2v2 swap made at 2:59 when I can't decide. And I'm also not saying that all of those swaps have been for the worse. I'm sure that I have swapped onto something at 12:59 that has won me a week and lost me a week. But more to the point is, I think that, you know, just trusting that the research that you've done all week and the lineup that you have set on Sunday at 9 a.m. is more times than not going to be the best lineup that you could put in. Sure, if there's a surprise inactive and then there is now a running back who's 4K that is going to get all the touches, obviously you have to make some changes then. And I did. I logged in at like 12:30 after inactives had hit while I was on the course and made sure nothing crazy was happening and then just locked in my lineup. Let's take a look at the lineup. It was at quarterback Jalen Hurts, at running back Daryl Henderson, Daryl Williams, and DeAndre Swift, at wide receiver Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, and Rashad Bateman, tight end Ricky Seals-Jones, defense Arizona Cardinals. Now, I tried everything in my power to get Derrick Henry in this lineup. But I did not want to, like, when it came down to it, I wanted my spend up player to be Cooper Kupp, right? So when I was creating my lineup, going through, I actually had Cooper Kupp as the better play because he was cheap. Like, if Derrick Henry was 8,400 and not, you know, almost 1,000 more, then that would be different. But I really thought Cooper Kupp was going to smash because of the, you know, the Ram Lions narrative. And I wasn't 100% sure about Davante Adams. He was the other pay up option. I was all in on Derrick Henry this week, but I just couldn't make it happen. Right. So with Derrick Henry and Cooper Kupp in this lineup, I had already paid down for Rashad Bateman. I had already paid down for Ricky Seals-Jones. I would have had to, you know, go from Chris Godwin to Darnell Mooney, or go from Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson down to Tua, which ended up, that would have probably been the better play. But I just couldn't make this double stud lineup work. So I went pretty much even across the board, bunch of 6K guys and Cooper Kupp. I was prepared for Derrick Henry to bite me in the ass. He didn't. I mean, if you told me that the Titans were going to blow the Chiefs out and Derrick Henry was going to have like 30 touches, I would have said I'm toast. You know, there's not many times when Derrick Henry is not going to absolutely crush in that game script. I'm lucky. If you didn't play Derrick Henry, you're lucky that he didn't go for 50 again, to be honest. You have to look at it that way. You're definitely lucky that he did not smash. So DeAndre Swift, I got onto DeAndre Swift on Sunday morning because I just thought that if, you know, I thought to myself, if I have Cooper Kupp smashing, if I have Daryl Henderson smashing in the projections, how is DeAndre Swift not going to catch like 8 balls in the fourth quarter when they're down 3 touchdowns? So that is why he went. It ended up not being the case. It ended up being almost opposite, right? The Lions jumped out to a lead thanks to that screen pass to DeAndre Swift. And then Cooper Kupp had to get some targets to get the Rams back in it. So that worked out, even though the logic wasn't 100%. Godwin, you know, no Antonio Brown, absolute smash play. In fact, my article on 4 for 4, my favorite stack was Brady, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. I mean, that probably won someone $1 million. I haven't even looked at the winning millionaire maker lineup, but probably won someone $1 million. The third wide receiver spot was dicey. I thought about Tyler Johnson, but I didn't want too many Buccaneers. That's why I also didn't roster Leonard Fournette. You know, Fournette and Godwin, I was having a tough time with, especially since I already had Henderson and Kupp locked in. I didn't want, you know, my whole cash team to only be spread out amongst like 3 or 4 actual NFL teams. That seemed counterintuitive to me. But Bateman saw 6 targets last week, looked really good doing it. Just assumed that his workload was going to bump up without Sammy Watkins in the lineup. That came pretty true. Ricky Seals-Jones, DraftKings is just neglecting him. The last 3 weeks, we've absolutely crushed with Ricky Seals-Jones. Jalen Hurts over Lamar Jackson wasn't something that I wanted to do, but I just couldn't find the salary to get up to Lamar. I was pretty even on Jalen Hurts and Lamar, though. I thought Lamar had a little bit higher ceiling, which is why I tried to get him in first. But I wasn't too mad about going down to Jalen Hurts. And then defense, I just had $3,100 left over. And what I did was, I don't normally spend $3,000 on a defense, but I knew the Cardinals were going to be super popular, right? And I knew they had a really high ceiling given that they were playing the Texans. So I just let it slide thinking that, you know, I thought like maybe like 30% they would be, 25%. They ended up being like 50% in most of the double ups that I was in. So that was kind of just a, you know, play who everybody else is playing, kind of eat the chalk and just worry about beating them at the other 8 spots. Ended up a really good decision. I believe I finished with 177, which was good for 93% of head-to-heads. I went back through all of the first 7 weeks, and I am at an average of 72% of head-to-heads won through week 7, which, you know, that's a good number. If we stay there for the rest of the year, that'll be, I'll take that every single NFL DFS season. But we'll look to improve. I mean, I feel like, you know, it's such a grind. You know, we've had a 100% of head-to-head week. We've had an 88 percentile head-to-head week. We've had a 93 percentile head-to-head week. But we've also had a 39 and a 51. And I can't remember them all off the top of my head. But, you know, I feel like I've been smashing cash all year, and I'm only at 72% of head-to-heads won. Winning number, really good number. But it just goes to show you how much of a grind and how hard it is to be profitable in cash. Tough. So Monday night showdown. We have the Seahawks hosting the Saints. There's a key inactive that I think is going to decide this slate. It's probably not who you think, but it is Taysom Hill. I think with Taysom Hill being out, it absolutely rockets the ceiling of Alvin Kamara, and it rockets the ceiling of Jameis Winston. I like them both as the captain. On the other side of the ball, I think you can't ignore the fact of how good Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf have been or can be. So I think you sprinkle them a little bit. But I'm really going to concentrate on Kamara and Jameis in my captains. I'm not a big QB in the captain spot when they don't run the football. But like, I could see Jameis throwing for 4 touchdowns, and you don't have Taysom Hill to get those 6 or 7 weird carries where he can punch one in, takes points away from Kamara, takes points away from Jameis. So the ceiling on those guys is really high this week because they don't have that threat of, you know, sometimes Kamara has like 100 yards rushing, 4 catches for 60 yards, and no touchdowns. And that's great, right? That's 23 DK points. But if he can get that 1 or that 2 touchdown game that Taysom Hill steals from him every now and again, that's a ceiling play. That is. And really, there isn't a ton on this slate that I like in terms of, you know, middle or cheap guys. Some dart throws, Freddie Swain, maybe a little bit of Freddie Swain. Probably we'll have to see about Alex Collins, but, you know, one of those backup Saints running backs is probably going to be critical. They'll probably catch a pass or two like DJ Dallas. Rashad Penny should be active tonight. So some of those guys. But the main thing is that Jameis and Kamara, I think, really have a high ceiling tonight without Taysom Hill. Obviously, Marquez Callaway, there really isn't many Saints pass catchers. I think the defenses, both defenses, are a little bit more in play because of turnover prone and second string quarterbacks. But yeah, I'm going to focus on Kamara. I'm going to focus on maybe a little bit more defense exposure. I do like Jameis Winston. But that will do it for the Week 7 lineup review and Monday Night Showdown podcast. I'll talk to you guys on Thursday or Friday with the Week 8 rundown. Good luck in all of your Monday night contests.